This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Who do you need to draft in the middle rounds this season? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, and joining me today is D-Bro, but you don't care about him. We're also joined by YouTuber extraordinaire Brett Coleman. Brett, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, we're getting you in for some NFL expertise. You were at 49ers camp earlier this week. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Here's the league's latest news.
What I want to talk about at the top of the show in terms of just breaking news that happened earlier today is the James White retirement. Now, not anybody was drafting James White to be some sort of fantasy impact guy this year, but he is notorious for being the legend of PPR leagues and just catching every pass in that offense for a long time. So that role appears to be open now. There was a tweet from a Patriots beat reporter earlier today that said Ty Montgomery was probably first in line to fill that role. I'm curious what you guys think. Obviously, there was some Ramondre Stevenson love going around on Twitter, as there has been for the last few weeks. D-Bro, I'll actually start with you on that. What do you think about what we're going to see in that pass-catching role in New England?
Well, I think the other thing we need to talk about here and unpack is also there's small rumblings about maybe Damian Harris gets moved on from as well. So for me, it's still Mondre season. I'm in on Ramondre Stevenson. I know his ADP is climbing high. But I really, like you're talking about, Ryan, I wasn't projecting that James White was going to be healthy to start the season or really factoring a lot of that into where I was ranking Stevenson and Harris and even looking at Pierre Strong. So right now, I think Harris, if he stays, is going to be the early down guy. I still put the lead for Stevenson to take over the passing downs, although we have heard some rumblings about maybe Pierre Strong takes that role, although it's weird to me because Pierre Strong wasn't that type of receiving back coming out of college. Like, his pass protection numbers, all these different things don't jump off the page to you, but I mean, come on. When you have Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in the offensive rooms and the meetings and stuff, we can't rule anything out these days.
Brett, how about you? Who do you think is going to fill that void?
Long term, it'll be Pierre Strong. I was on the sidelines at Shrine Bowl practice right next to the Patriots staff, watching him go through one-on-ones, running back through linebacker drills, and he was beating everybody. So I know, you know, when he was a jackrabbit, they didn't show it as much, but he can run routes. He can catch. The big thing is picking up the offense because Earhart Perkins is notoriously difficult to pick up for rookies. So that might be more of like a dynasty play, which I took him in basically every dynasty league I'm in. In terms of this year, it's Ty Montgomery is going to be that role. Absolutely. JJ Taylor, from what I've been hearing of my buddies at camp, is not in consideration for that role. And Pierre, like maybe in the back half of the year, will get some run at it. But at least in the first half of the year, Ty Montgomery, every single third down. As far as Ramondre versus Damian, I've heard the same things you have. He might get traded sooner rather than later. When you look at how they structure their offense, they got rid of their fullback. And in terms of carry splits from 11 personnel versus 21 personnel, Ramondre was their top running back in terms of 11 personnel last year. So the fact they don't even have a fullback on the roster, and the closest thing they had to a fullback is Jonnu Smith, I kind of feel like they're angling more towards 12 and 11 personnel runs, which favors Ramondre. And let's be honest, Damian's main value is short yardage and goal line. Ramondre can do that too. So right now I'm drafting Ramondre and I'm drafting Ty Montgomery. And in Dynasty, I'm drafting Pierre Strong, and that's about it.
Well, Brett, I'm really kind of curious too, before we move on here real fast, because I know we got a lot of things to cover here. Do you see them possibly running a good bit of 10 personnel? Because that's the thing that's been rattling around in my head with as many wide receivers as they have and all the scheme changes that are possibly coming down the pike.
If they can pass protect, okay. That's the big thing, that's they have to be able to pass protect. And in particular, if you're running 10 personnel and you're going four wide, you need to have a running back that can do it. So they need to trust that Ramondre can hold up as a pass protector in that, or else they're just going to face, you know, blitz looks every single down and Mac is going to get killed, which they don't want to do either. So if they trust their running backs to protect, yeah, we could absolutely see that. But we might not know that for a couple weeks until we see them in preseason.
Remember, everyone, to stay on top of all the latest updates with the industry's fastest news desk, check out our Fantasy News and Scores app, available on both the App Store and Google Play. I've also got some opportunities I want to run through here before we jump into the heart of the show. I want to mention this awesome prize Fantasy Pros is giving away to the listeners right now. We've got a free signed Davante Adams jersey giveaway over at fantasypros.com/contest right now. All our listeners have to do to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Take a screenshot and submit it at fantasypros.com/contest before the end of the month to have a chance to win. And I also need to mention my absolute favorite tool Fantasy Pros offers this time of year, the Draft Assistant. With draft season now here, it's time to take advantage of our Draft Assistant with Sync. The Draft Assistant with Sync provides advice and pick selections for your live online drafts in real time. It works with all the most popular league sites like Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, CBS Sports, NFL.com, and more. Plus, it's got the same interface as the Draft Simulator, so it has that familiar look and is very easy to use. Only MVP and Hall of Fame level subscribers can access it, so please subscribe today if you haven't already, and check out our Draft Assistant with Sync at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And since only premium subscribers can get the most out of our assistant, if you're not currently a subscriber, we're offering you an amazing deal that gets you premium for 6 months without paying us a dime. You can check out that deal at fantasypros.com/offers. Fellas, let's jump into the meat of today's show. We're talking about running backs and wide receivers that you must draft this season, so we'll give a couple of sleepers, maybe a breakout or two, and some dart throws later on. We're going to be using our consensus half PPR ADP information, which can be found at fantasypros.com/rankings. We've got through all that. Debro, I'll start with you. Who is your breakout running back that's going ADP 51 to 100 right now?
I know that everybody's heart has been hurt. I get that the hype was real and the pain is real as well. And everybody and their mother loves Isaiah Pacheco right now. But I'm not ready to pull out the shovel and bury Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that now that we know all of the stuff that happened last year with the gallbladder, things like that, his numbers make a ton of sense when you look at his efficiency dropped off the map. And we need to remind ourselves that, okay, he did not hit the hype that we wanted in the rookie season, but that doesn't mean he was bad either. We're looking at a running back that in his rookie season was 19th in yards after contact per attempt, 12th in missed tackles forced, and he was the RB12 in expected fantasy points per game. So inside of one of the league's best offenses, he's still running with the first team, and there's no question about that. Why do we not love CEH more? And it sounds crazy because I know everybody's going to hate this take, but this is another year I think it's easy to buy back in, and regardless of however you're building your teams, hero, zero, all these other different approaches and drafts, Clyde Edwards-Helaire fits all of them.
Is he somebody that you would prefer to, well, obviously you'd prefer to take him as late as you can. Are you happy to take him where he's going because you think there's upside, or would you actually reach a couple of rounds compared to where he's going to make sure you get him?
I mean, come on, Ryan, you know how I am. I'm team get your guys, you know? So I don't play these ADP games like, ooh, does he come back to me the next round? There is nothing more painful in fantasy football than watching the players you think can go off, except they're not on your squad. They're at somebody else's. There's nothing more painful than that. So no, I don't play these cute ADP games. I'll stick. I'll even reach a little bit if I have to, if I'm on the turn and stuff. So I have no problem with that. If you're shooting for upside, which you need to win your leagues, just have conviction in the players that you draft.
First of all, spot on impression of most fantasy football players. Second of all, I know Brett has some thoughts on the Chiefs backfield. We will get to that a little bit later. For now, Brett, give me your breakout running back going between ADP 51 and 100.
I'm going to go with Chase Edmonds, and the Love Dolphins it. Backfield has been something that a lot of people are struggling to figure out. And it's a very similar discussion to what we have in New England, which is 21 personnel versus 12 personnel versus 11 personnel. Who is going to be the running back in those packages? For me, Raheem Mostert, because they got Alec Ingold. Remember, Mike McDaniel loves 21 personnel runs with fullbacks in the backfield. I think Raheem Mostert is going to be that guy for them because he already understands the angles and the pacing and the timing and, you know, how things should be read against certain fronts like Mike McDaniel wants it to be read. But Chase Edmonds, I think, is going to be doing everything else. I think when they're in 11 personnel, he's going to be on the field. He's a great receiving back. He's constantly beating linebackers in practice. And I think that he'll get a little bit more red zone work than he got in Arizona, which, if you remember last year, in between the 20s, it was the Chase Edmonds show. And then you got inside the 20, it was the James Conner show. And it was really frustrating to unless you were in best ball like me, but it was really frustrating to have this guy that you see how dynamic he is on the field, and then they just wouldn't give him touches inside the 20. I think Miami's going to give him more touches inside the 20, so not only are you going to get the yardage production, you're going to get some more touchdown production too. And for where he's going right now, I feel like he's a little bit undervalued because people don't really know how to approach the Dolphins right now.
Yeah, the Dolphins probably have the most names in their backfield on the depth chart just of players that people will recognize. Usually when you get down to the fourth running back, it's a lot of people that fantasy players just have never heard of before. In this case, fourth running back is Myles Gaskin. So it's, you know, it's names that we are familiar with as fantasy players. I know this is sort of an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway, Brett. If you had to guess right now, just total percentage of carries in this backfield, what percentage do you think Chase Edmonds is going to end up with?
Oh, God. So this is going to sound worse than it is. 30. But that's okay, because Raheem Mostert's also going to get 25 and Sony Michel might get 15. You know, it's going to be a committee. But that's what fantasy football is these days, is you just have to guess right on the committees and get the guy that's going to get most of the high leverage touches, which I think is going to be Chase Edmonds. I think he's going to get more touchdown opportunities than, say, Mostert or Michel, which is really where the points are going to come from.
If it wasn't a committee, he'd be going a lot higher. So that exactly. Definitely makes sense. Before we move on with today's show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Flex Fantasy. Flex.fan allows you to compete in head-to-head challenges on a weekly basis using your current fantasy team. Sync the fantasy team you already drafted on Sleeper or Yahoo Fantasy, and best ball challenges are now available with that current team you drafted. No need to draft a new team at all. You can challenge anyone in the fantasy community, even if they're not in your league. Play against your league mates, friends, family, or anyone else in the fantasy community. Just create a challenge and choose the team you want to compete against every week. Join in on the fun by backing the team you think has the best chance to win that week. Just go to flex.fan/pros to join in on the fun now. Devro, give me your first sleeper at running back, going ADP 101 to 150.
So the guy, and I get that he's gotten some love on social media because people are reading the same things that I'm reading out of Eagles camp, is that Kenneth Gainwell is going to be used in a lot of high leverage situations. And for me, I love that. And I love where he's going in drafts. I don't think that he's going to be the three down back, and we don't need him to be that, to be good in fantasy. If this backfield goes to more of a two-headed monster as opposed to three, and Boston Scott sitting on the bench more this year, Kenneth Gainwell can absolutely pay off and has a huge ceiling in this offense, because I think Philadelphia is going to run fast. I think even if the passing rate doesn't bounce back, weeks 1 through 7 last year, they had a top 10. They were first in neutral strip pace, And the part that I want to accentuate here is that they were top seven in no huddle rate. So if this is a team that is going to run a good bit of no huddle, which I think that they could, to keep, you know, as far as like defensive matchups and things like that, if Gainwell was on the field in the no huddle, he's not going to come off the field. And we know the ceiling that he presents with passing down work. I mean, he was 14th in yards per route run, right behind Austin Eckler last year. And the eighth highest PFF receiving grade was given to him amongst running backs. So red zone work, passing down work, good offense. What's not to like here?
Are you comfortable taking him even if you were told that he will still definitely be number two in the offense behind Sanders? You just like the talent that much, or this is buying into him leaping ahead of Sanders on the depth chart as the season goes on?
I think he's going to work in tandem. Like, I have no qualms. Like, I think that, or no illusions about, like, I think he's going to be the 1B in this backfield. So even how I'm projecting him, I'm not projecting him to be the lead as far as touches this year. But if he gets the money touches that we really want, that really help us the most in fantasy, which are in the passing game and the red zone, then yeah, Miles Sanders can get all these empty calorie touches. That's fine. Don't really care about that. If Gainwell gets the work we want, then yes, he can not have a huge role in the rushing and still be awesome.
I think the phrase, if he gets the work we want, should just be like the motto for every fantasy football player.
It's fair.
Of course, also you talk about, you know, passing downs and in the red zone, Jalen Hurts as a rushing quarterback, they often don't pass because they're, you know, happy to scramble, and they often run it in themselves. So you never know what kind of volume you're going to see there. Let's move to your sleeper, Brett. Again, ADP 101 to 150.
You know, this one's tough because I almost don't even know if I'd consider it a sleeper at this point, because I think the day that Dameon Pierce was drafted and people saw the rest of the backfield, they immediately were like, okay, that's the guy, that's the Eli Mitchell this year. That is a rookie running back that is explosive, that has an incredible tackle breaking rate, that was way underutilized at Florida, that has three down versatility because he can catch, that is, you know, big and dirty enough to get goal line work. And he's going to a backfield with not a whole lot of competition in an offense that has a young quarterback we like and an underrated offensive line. And you just kind of keep stacking all these reasons on top of each other. And I still don't know why he's going as late as he is. Maybe it's because he's a rookie and people don't know who he is, and they see, you know, the H-O-U right next to his name and they assume that he's bad. No, Dameon Pierce is a really good player. He's going to be RB1. He already won the RB1 job in camp. It took like a week and we're already there. And he's going to get three down work. If he is not one of the most productive rookie running backs in the league, I would be stunned, because it's a perfect combination of talent and opportunity.
This is another depth chart where you recognize a lot of names. It's just that in this case, it's names that are pretty ugly and that I, you know, nobody has any interest in. Rex Burkhead, Marlon Mack, guys like that currently, you know, quote unquote, nominally on the depth chart ahead of him. But I think you're right. I think it's pretty clear to see. I mean, you said 30% for Chase Edmonds. I think the number's way higher for Pierce. What would you put it at?
50.
Yeah.
And that's only because they love Rex Burkhead a lot, and Burkhead's going to get more carries than he probably should. But I think he gets at least 50%, which these days, like, that's what you can hope for. That's all you can hope for out of an RB1 is just give him half the touches. Because if he's still getting 5 yards a carry, which we think he can, that's still a significant amount of yards.
Even in a bad offense, that's clear profit for where he's going in drafts right now. Let's move on to our dart throws at running backs. These are going to be guys who are going after pick 151 currently in drafts. Debro, I know this is a guy that you love to talk about.
All right, so I've mentioned his name a few different times. I keep talking about him out on Twitter, and I don't get this. I really don't understand it. If you were to take, so people love a seventh round running back and they just can't shut up about him. And I'm not taking anything away from Isaiah Pacheco's talent. But if you were to airdrop Tristan Ebner into the Kansas City offense, people would never shut up about him. And they need to understand the profile that he's bringing to the table. I think he's a fantastic fit for this zone scheme that they want to implement in Chicago. I think he is going to own the passing downs from Chicago from week one. I think, and yes, he's a sixth round back. I get all of that. That doesn't mean that the NFL doesn't make mistakes. That doesn't mean that if he would have gone to, I don't know, Georgia, maybe he would have gone in the second or third round. And it's not hyperbolic to say that Ebner was the best passing down back in this draft class. Because if you look at his numbers, they're ridiculous. And he's big enough to play more than just passing down snaps at 5'11", 209. Over the last 5 years at Baylor, here's his ranks in yards per route run against all running backs with 20 or more targets. 30th, 11th, 1st, 10th, and 3rd. He is legitimately that good. And oh, and behold, he was top 35 in yards after contact per attempt amongst collegiate running backs last year. Tristan Ebner, if I'm going to throw a dart and we're talking about this year's Elijah Mitchell, that's Tristan Ebner for me. That's the player that I want to throw the dart on. And he's not getting drafted. He will not be drafted in your redraft leagues. And I'm telling you, don't grab a kicker or a defense. Draft Tristan Ebner with your final pick. I love his skills. I love his talent. And I don't think that we're going to see anywhere close to this David Montgomery with a 90% opportunity share this year. Ebner's talent, he could explode and everybody's sleeping on him heavy.
But D-Bro, the thing with the Bears is that it's not just that David Montgomery has to be overcome. It's also Khalil Herbert, who we have talked about a lot on this show, who looked really good in, you know, a very limited scope last season, especially when Montgomery was on the field. But he looked really good. He is very popular, you know, in drafts right now. Mm-hmm. So do you think Ebner can overcome two of those guys? Or you just think, you know, again, you're talking about pure profit if he's even just in a committee?
I think Ebner is going to own the passing down work from week one. I think Herbert, the way that I think people are viewing Herbert wrong. I think Herbert should be viewed as the early down handcuff to David Montgomery. And if you look at even Khalil Herbert's receiving profile last year, or even going back to college, it's nowhere close to Ebner's. And so I think that I'm viewing this backfield very, very differently than consensus. Herbert is the early down handcuff to David Montgomery. I think Ebner has a standalone role from week one.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk to everyone about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions on PristineAuction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed, authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for $110. Deals like this are happening all the time on PristineAuction.com, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Every item on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use code FANTASYPROS. That's one word. Be sure to sign up now because there are deals ending every day. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia on PristineAuction.com. Brett, you've heard D-Bro take a couple of, maybe not shots, but he's mentioned Isaiah Pacheco a few times. He is your dart throw, so here's your chance to rebut everything D-Bro has said.
So, first of all, I want to preface this by saying I am also a CEH guy, heavy believer in him. I have him ranked above most, or love higher it. Than most people, I would say, because I love CEH. But I think Isaiah Pacheco's skill set and what he brings to the table and how they've used him so far in camp indicates that, again, this will be the dreaded 30-30-20 type committee. And I think that they're going to be used in different ways. So CEH, when they're doing all their inside zone stuff and all their RPO stuff, like that's going to be him in between the tackles. He's really, really good at that. He's got great feet. You know, he can bounce it out if he needs to. And I think if they're running all their option package where they go five wide and CEH is in the slot, he's really quick and could beat linebackers there too. But Isaiah Pacheco, if they want, you know, if they're trying to run like mesh rail and they need a guy that can run 4-3 on that mesh and just get down the boundary right now, he's better at that than CEH. He's way faster. If they're trying to do anything in the toss game, the outside zone game, like he just has the juice to be able to do that a little bit more effectively than Clyde can. And so I think that anytime they're running outside or anytime they're really trying to attack the boundary with the running backs at all, that's going to be Pacheco. And anytime they're trying to bang it in between the tackles, that's going to be Clyde. The thing I don't know is who's getting goal line touches. Now, maybe since Clyde's weight is back up a little bit, they're going to feel more comfortable giving that to him. We really won't know. But I think investing, and this is what I'm doing, I'm investing in both of them because you're getting both of them dirt cheap right now relative to where they should go. And then as the season goes on, I'll be able to know when I should play and everything like that. Plus Pacheco, just as a pure handcuff to CEH, is a great idea too.
Brett, I told you before the show that I always find a way to sneak in a mention of one of my beloved Maryland Terrapins. On the Chiefs website right now, on their depth chart, Pacheco is currently listed as a fourth teamer, along with two other names, Derek Gore and Teyon Fleet Davis, former Maryland Terrapin. Let's move on to the wide receivers. Debro, we'll start with you again. Give me your breakout again, ADP 51 to 100.
Okay, the breakout wide receiver, and a lot of people love this guy, so I'm not really going to tell people things they already haven't heard or don't know. It's Elijah Moore. I think that he has the talent, and the fact that like we've seen him go through the rookie struggles and in the second year, I'm not saying that Garrett Wilson is bad, and I'm not saying that Garrett Wilson can't emerge, but if I'm going to put the chips on a guy right now, it's Elijah Moore. And a lot of this is, we saw him, once he was a full-time player, perform at elite levels, week 7 through 13, so we got a 7-game stretch, you know, almost a half a season. He was 10th in yards per route run, 14th highest graded wide receiver per PFF in that stretch, and even if you look at more of a macro view of him, 15th in win rate versus man coverage in his route win rate last year, and he was top 10 overall in win rate. So I think the talent is there, and I think this is an offense that's screaming for somebody to step up and lead this passing attack, and I think it could be Elijah Moore in his second season.
Do you think, considering the talent around him, both at quarterback and other receivers in the offense, just very quickly, can he be a fantasy wide receiver one this year if everything goes right?
It's possible. I think it's definitely possible, even if Zach Wilson sucks.
Brett, who's your wide receiver?
So I know that I've been down bad on him for like 2 years now, and I got burned hard for drafting Brandon Ayuk in the fourth round last year in every league that I could. But as we've found out since then, there were circumstances that really nobody who does this for a living could have foreseen, i.e. him showing up to training camp completely out of shape because his first training camp was in a COVID year and he didn't know that he was supposed to do off-season training. So he just showed up to camp without doing off-season training at all because he thought that's what the NFL was. And then Kyle Shanahan promptly, benched him for like 8 weeks. When he finally got into shape in the back half of the season, he was outproducing Debo as a receiver. And Debo was getting heavy usage in the backfield to account for Elijah Moore, or Elijah Mitchell, not Elijah Moore, the other Elijah, getting hurt. And so Debo was being prioritized almost as a running back more, and Ayuk was the wide receiver one. But even when they were both on the field lined up as wide receivers, Ayuk was still outproducing Debo on a per snap basis when they were both being used as receivers. So I think that even though I love Debo, obsessed with Debo, there's a legitimate chance that Ayuk outproduces him this year. And I was just at camp this week watching them practice on the field together with Trey Lance. Ayuk was unbeatable. Like, he is in shape. He is murdering everyone. And they've got some good DBs in San Francisco. None of them can cover him. And so I really do think that there's a lot of smoke to this fire. And I know I sound insane because this is 2 years in a row been banging the drum for this dude. This year is different. I think he will be the wide receiver one on this team. Debo will still produce. He'll still get carries in the backfield. Believe me, this team's going to run a lot. But in terms of just pure receiving production, I think it's Ayuk.
Yeah, when you have a guy who has burned fantasy managers as many times and as significantly as Ayuk has, you kind of do really have to like pound the table to get people's attention and say, hey, no, this time it is different. One guy who has gotten a lot of discussion on our shows all summer has been Trey Lance. You, as you said, we're just at camp. Is he, I'm assuming the answer to this is yes, because you just made the case for Ayuk. Is he going to be a prolific enough passer this season to carry a wide receiver one?
It's tough because on a drive-to-drive basis, even at practice, you see some inconsistencies in ball placement. And I would say that you're going to have to grit your teeth and bear it for a few weeks. There's going to be some games where you're just like, what the hell's going on? But then he comes back, and even I see it on a snap-to-snap basis in practice, he comes back and he makes an absolutely ridiculous far hash throw that very few quarterbacks can make. And so it's projection and it's hope. I get that. But if he becomes what the 49ers staff thinks he can be, and what even some of the receivers who have played with Josh Allen that are on this team that think he can be, then yes, it is worth the investment. Now, I'm not willing to go higher than a fifth round pick on Ayuk, but that's not a hedge on Ayuk. It is a hedge on Trey Lance based on what I've seen in practice, which is some inconsistent ball placement. But he's aggressive. He's taking a lot of shots down the field, and he's at least giving Ayuk a chance, which, to be honest, that's all I can hope for at this point. He's got 34-inch arms. He has the same wingspan as a dude who's like 6'5". Give him a chance instead of just, you know, being a check down Charlie and throwing it to the running backs all day. At minimum, he's at least going to get a shot.
Before we move on with today's show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Buffalo Wild Wings. The absolute best place to host your fantasy draft this year is Buffalo Wild Wings. Book in advance on buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. There, you'll get half off on all bar food appetizers during your draft party. That means nachos, buffalo chicken tots, everything pretzel knots, mozzarella sticks, fried pickles, and so much more. Buffalo Wild Wings always has great deals on beers, $3 house beers, $4 domestic beers, and $5 craft beers. I simply cannot imagine eating wings without a cold PBR in my hand. And this year, Buffalo Wild Wings is putting league losers on the hot seat. The first 20 draft parties at each Buffalo Wild Wings location will get a fantasy football punishment pack. It comes with everything you need to punish last year's loser and kick off your draft the right way. That's 6 free boneless wings with their hottest sauce, blazin', a bib to wear that says last place in big letters so the entire bar will know just how bad they are at fantasy football, a certificate of underachievement that's worthy of being framed, and of course, free coupons for the whole league to come back during the season. Don't forget to book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy because spots fill up fast. Debro, who's your sleeper ADP 101 to 150 at wide receiver?
I love the fact that Brett brought up Brandon Ayuk and the fact that Trey Lance is going to push the ball. Absolutely love that. And I'm going to go back to something you were talking about, Ryan, on players that have burned us. So you might have to break out the aloe vera here. I understand it. And the Band-Aids, because this is a player we wanted to see succeed ever since he hit the NFL field, ever since he was a prospect and everybody loved him, Christian Kirk. And I think that people do not give him enough credence to what he did when Hopkins was less than 100%. So weeks 9 through 18, he was a wide receiver 35 in fantasy points per game. And now he got signed to a contract that he's going to be the number one option in this passing attack. And people aren't even drafting him where he produced at last year with better options around him. He's going as the wide receiver 42 in ADP, which is ludicrous. Like, I get it. People don't like Jacksonville, and we all had a nice little chuckle about like the crazy contract that he got. That doesn't mean that Christian Kirk isn't still talented. It doesn't mean that he can't be the number one in this offense, because that's what the Jaguars are telling us. And the big thing about his fit with Trevor Lawrence is he is good where Trevor Lawrence struggled last year. Christian Kirk was 22nd in slot yards per route run, and he was the 22nd highest graded wide receiver per PFF on intermediate targets, and Lawrence struggled there. That was 29% of his target volume last year, or his passing attempt volume last year. So if they're looking to upgrade and give Trevor Lawrence a chance whenever he's throwing over the middle or whenever he's throwing intermediate, that's Christian Kirk territory. So I think that the volume is going to be there, and if the volume's there, come on. We know that. What's the adage? Volume is king in fantasy, so chase the volume. I'll take the discount.
He's certainly getting paid like there should be a lot of volume coming his way. You say that he is good where Lawrence struggled, as if to say, oh, he can help him there. I hear that and I say, okay, so Lawrence isn't going to do a good job getting him the ball where he's usually open. So it remains to be seen. I do think it's fair to expect, considering the ridiculous pedigree Lawrence had coming into the NFL, that we should see a pretty sizable leap here going into year two. Brett, who is your sleeper?
I do really quick want to expand on his point. The yards per route run from the slot, I remember I was looking this up before. It's because he, in terms of those deep crossing routes they would run on weak side flood, when he would come across from the other side, Kyler was really good at hitting those. He had like an average depth of target of like 24 and a half yards on those. Guess who also throws that route really, really well? Trevor Lawrence. So I'm right there with him. For me, I'm going all in on rookies this year. I'm a sucker for rookies. Sky Moore, I think, is way undervalued right now. I think a lot of people are, you know, looking at Juju and MVS and they're like, oh, well, those are going to be the top two receivers. No, they're not. Sky Moore is better. He's better in almost every way. And I know he's a rookie, but like I was talking to my buddy on the Western Michigan staff about him before the draft. And he was saying, look, however good you think he is, you haven't seen anything yet. He's got unbelievable ball skills and catch radius, even for a guy who's not even that big. He's got legit 4.4 speed. The Chiefs are using him in the backfield during practice just to see what he can do there. And they're giving him a lot of the same carries when they used to run counter with Tyreek. They're literally calling that same play. And they're having Sky do that. They're not having Juju do it. They're not having MBS do it. He's the one that when they're kind of getting into those weird, you know, 10 personnel runs where they put a running back in the slot and then put a receiver in the backfield, he's getting that work. So yeah, Sky Moore, way undervalued. I think he's going to be the most productive receiver on the team. I don't care if he's a rookie. He is that guy.
I would strongly encourage anybody who's only listening to this podcast to be sure to pull up our YouTube video of it, which we have for all of our shows, just to see the pure euphoria on Debro's face when the name Sky Moore came out of Brett's mouth. Debra actually messaged me before the show. He said, I think I've been talking too much about Sky Moore, so I'm not going to include him, even though he's the obvious pick. And then you went with him. So to see that enthusiasm, I mean, seriously, guys, Debra was acting like his team just won the Super Bowl during that whole diatribe. I will give you, again, Debra, you have to keep it quick here. I'll give you like 20 seconds to agree with him on Sky Moore.
I love the fact that Brett just brought him up. I've been trying to preach to people about Sky Moore for weeks, for months, and the talent is real. I agree with everything that Brett laid out. You look at this depth chart, and Sky Moore is that dude. He is built different. And the other part about it is we have not seen the best out of him. Considering quarterback, cornerback coming out of high school, and you need to go back and check out the Rivals footage of how good he was as a cornerback, he still isn't of the leap that we could see him take at the NFL level.
All right, Debra, thank you for keeping that short. Give me your final wide receiver here. Dart throw. This is an ADP over 151 at the wide receiver position.
Ryan, I like talented players, and people should too. And that's going to lead me, and I get he's not exactly the tallest fellow. It's going to lead me to Wandale Robinson, who I think there are legitimate ranges of outcomes where if Kadarius Toney doesn't hit, Wandale Robinson can lead this team in targets this year, and the production has been through the roof for Wandale Robinson. I mean, we've seen all the camp hype. We've heard people talking about him, yet he still goes really late in drafts, and he crushed last year at Kentucky. He was the fifth highest graded wide receiver per PFF last year, 10th in yak, 4th in yards per route run. He's above like 95th percentile in breakout age and collegiate target share. I just think that people are, they're still married to the fact of his size, and they really need to be married. Like, put a ring on it. Put a ring on the production, people. And that's what I'm going to chase inside of an offense that's screaming that it's asking for somebody to step up. Wandale Robinson could do that this year.
Now, I know both of you guys actually really like Kadarius Toney this year. Debra, you said that you think if Kadarius Toney doesn't step up, that Wandale Robinson could be that guy. Do you think there's value here, even if Toney is the guy that you think he can be?
Oh, yeah. I think there's definitely value on Wandale, even if Toney has a really good season. My point on that was just that Wandale could outpace Kadarius Toney in targets. Nobody's projecting that or looking at him that way. But I think that both of these wide receivers can have really, really strong seasons. Like, they could be 1 and 2 on targets for the Giants, because Kenny Galladay is dust. I'm sorry. Like, I've liked him in previous years, but this archetype wide receivers, it falls off really fast. Like, these contested catch guys, and that's really just not Daniel Jones's game. So yeah, I think that Wandale can still have a really good season and Toney break out in the same scenario.
Brett, your dart throw is somebody that you mentioned to me before we started recording. And I said, I'm not sure he's actually gotten named, at least on any of the shows I've been on this year, but you are very excited to bring him up.
I would be willing to bet that very few fantasy shows have ever mentioned Kyle Phillips at all. He is a rookie fifth round pick for the Tennessee Titans out of UCLA. I first saw him when I was down at UCLA practice before their Hawaii game. And then I saw him again for an entire week of practice at the Shrine Bowl. I'm telling you right now, he was uncoverable. Nobody, not once ever actually won a rep against him the entire week. And it got so bad to the point where the coaches had to pull him out during team periods a couple times because the quarterbacks wouldn't throw to anybody else. Like, they wanted to be able to highlight some of the other receivers there. And he was just getting up ready to go. And they're like, oh, let's get somebody else in there, because they knew where the ball was going. They wanted to be able to have these quarterbacks push the ball somewhere else. And he was just too good. He didn't even play in the game or participate in the last practice because he didn't need to. That's how apparent he was, how dominant he was. And so far, based on what I've heard from people in the know at Titans camp, it's been the same thing there. Nobody can handle him. He's beating everybody. Supposedly he's outperformed Treylon Burks, who I know a lot of people love. He is somebody who I projected well before camp even started to be a 70 catch type rookie, which as a fifth round pick, I know sounds crazy. I think he's well on his way to doing that, especially in a 17 game season. He's going to be the starting slot receiver. They're going to be in 11 personnel a lot because they're not going to be able to run the ball as well as they did without Roger Saffold there. He was a big part of that run game. He's no longer there. Expect more third and five plus. And when it's third and five plus, sorry, ain't nobody covering Kyle Phillips. He's, to me, Hunter Renfrow, but with like two shots of espresso in him. He is that good. You need to have him on every single one of your teams as your last round pick, and especially in Dynasty. If you're doing a Dynasty draft and you don't have Kyle Phillips, you're doing it wrong. Nobody's taking him. You better be the person to take him.
I love that call, Brett. I love that. I have Phillips stashed on so many different taxi squads. You've brought up the Shrine game twice here, maybe three times. There's one name that, again, we're talking about going deep down the rabbit hole that nobody ever mentions. I have to pick your brain about, man. Can you tell the good people about Tanner Connor? Because I've been out here in the streets talking about Tanner Connor he's a freak and nobody knows who the hell this dude is. And I'm like, stash him. Please stash him. He's an alien, a total alien. Please tell the good people about Tanner Connor.
Tanner Connor, Idaho State. 6'3" and a half, 230, runs a legit 4.3. He was a champion hurdler out of the Seattle area, got basically no offers because he went to a small high school, ended up at Idaho State. Part of the reason why coaches were frustrated about Kyle Phillips winning so much is because Tanner Connor kept getting open deep and the quarterbacks weren't throwing it to him. He is legit fast and big and powerful, and he's still a puppy. He doesn't even know what he's doing yet. I think that this kind of interesting wide receiver slash tight end hybrid role that they're trying to carve out for him is something that should be paid attention to. You should be stashing him because he gives you something different than every other weapon there gives you, which is that size speed combination. They have fast guys, they have big guys, they don't have any big fast guys. Tanner Connor's legitimately somebody that I would be interested in, especially in a very, very, very deep league. And he's also somebody that I would say 99.9% of fantasy owners don't even know who he is because he's an undrafted kid out of Idaho State. But also, by the way, do you know how many receivers in the history of the combine have been 230 plus and run 4.3? It's like five ever.
It's really small.
So yeah, you need to keep track of him.
Before we move on, Kyle Phillips is available in one of my dynasty leagues. I've pulled it up now. I'm going to add him live on the show, but I want you guys to tell me which player I should drop. Amari Rodgers, KJ Osborne, Bryan Edwards, Khalil Shakir. Those are my bottom level wide receivers.
Amari, drop Amari.
Yeah, Amari Rodgers. Yeah. They drafted Dubs and Watson because Amari was not.
Wait a minute. Ryan, is this our league? Is this our league?
No. This is not our fantasy first.
I was like, hold up. Now, stop the show. Don't do this to me live. I was like, hold on now.
Well, I kind of hoped it was. That's why I pulled it up during the show. I made a note. I was while he was talking, I said, go pick up Kyle Phillips. And then I looked and I was like, oh, he's already taken in that league, but he's not in this one. So
you can't get Tanner Connor either, baby. He's already on my squad.
I appreciate the advice here. To wrap up the show, we're going to do just a very quick rapid fire here. What I'm going to do is give you guys a name, tell you what their overall ADP is, and don't even give me an explanation. Just say they should be going higher or lower than they are right now. First up, Devin Singletary going 79th overall. Brett, should it be going higher or lower?
Slightly higher. Not much higher, but slightly higher.
Debra?
I'm going to go lower.
Okay, next is Daryl Henderson, 115th overall. Brett?
Higher. I'm still not 100% sure about Cam Akers coming back from that Achilles.
Debra?
I love Cam Akers, and I still think it should be higher.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 70th overall. Brett?
That's actually about right, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a valid answer, Debra.
I think it's about right, but I think that Amon-Ra can be that guy. I'm going to say higher.
Alan Lazard, speaking of Packers wide receivers, 106th. Brett?
Oh, man. Higher slightly? Slightly just because he's the wide receiver one, but that's about it.
Debra?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go a little bit lower. I'm not willing to press the panic button on Christian Watson yet.
One last bonus one here, because it's a guy I love, and I'll just tell you my answer is definitely higher. Terrace Marshall, he's wide receiver 86. He's going 266th overall. Brett?
I loved him at LSU, but I'm sorry, I can't. Not in the Panthers. I can't.
Debra?
I'm going to say higher. Robbie Anderson is dust. They need a second target outside. Well, third target past CMC. So higher.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, guys. I promised the listeners we would do a mailbag question here to end the show, so we'll go through it quickly. But just if you asked a question and we didn't have time to get to it today, remember, you can join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to all of our analysts who do AMAs, live stages, events, and more. Debra's on there literally all the time. So the question I want to ask is from @CoreyCorbin97, who asks, with Matt Ryan infamously not throwing touchdowns to his top options, a la Julio Jones and Kyle Pitts, how can Michael Pittman reach the heights that he's being projected at? Brad, I'll start with you.
By Alec Pierce, Mo Alie-Cox, and Jelani Woods all being on the roster too. So you have, what, four guys that are 6'4 and above. It's going to be real tough to double team Pittman the entire time, because especially when they're in 12 personnel, you're going to have to bracket one of the tight ends and you're going to have to leave your corners on an island outside. You just have most red zone coverage in the low red zone functions like that. So, yeah, I still think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns.
Debra, how about you?
Just a bet on talent, man. And I think that even if we're not talking about high red zone usage, if Pittman can break off big plays with better quarterback and a quarterback that's actually going to hit him in stride, unlike Carson Wentz, where Pittman's like, phew, phew, all right, we've got to catch it up here, then I think Pittman's going to crush.
It's funny. I'm with you that I think Pittman's going to crush, but it's funny to me that your answer for how can Pittman do what Julio Jones and Kyle Pitts didn't is bet on talent.
I have an answer. Yeah. Cause there was nobody else there. And so the most common coverage inside the 10 yard line that people called against the Falcons was cover one cone, meaning you have a safety in the post to guard against any of these seam routes from the tight ends. And then the other safety was literally just sitting inside of Julio. So he couldn't run a slant. He couldn't run a fade, and he had to score any other way possible. Same thing happened to Pittman. Can't do that against Indy because they have way too many big dudes.
So we're the only show to tell people to draft Kyle Phillips, but we're probably not the only show to tell people to draft Michael Pittman Jr. Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Another awesome episode, chock full of quality information. Don't forget to head to fantasypros.com/contest for your chance to win a signed Davante Adams jersey, or go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard to take advantage of our draft assistant with Sync, plus all the awesome opportunities with Flex Fantasy, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Pristine Auction. Thank you for today's show, and thank you, the fans, for listening. For Brett and Debro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @FantasyPros and subscribe to our YouTube channel @FantasyPros. youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.